What's up, you beautiful bastards? Hope you have a fantastic Monday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is one of the most requested stories from over the weekend. As you may have seen, YouTube's annual YouTube Rewind this year has been met with a ton of dislikes, the likes of which I've never really seen before. The video, as of recording this video, is at just under 100 million views. It has 2 million likes and 7.3 million dislikes. And to get a feel around some of the displeasure around this video, some of the top comments read, how are they gonna have a PewDiePie chair meme but no PewDiePie? Every year, YouTube just keeps getting disconnected from its content creators. Seriously, YouTube, I feel like there is no longer a YouTube Rewind when you bring up stuff about what's happening in the world and include talk show hosts. This video should be a representation of all the biggest events and YouTubers on YouTube during the year. And as far as my reaction to this negative reaction, I understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, I don't know if YouTube could actually make anything that would be widely well received. Right? People asking, where is PewDiePie? Specifically just him by himself or his battle with T-Series? Where is Shane Dawson, who had arguably one of the biggest series on YouTube this year? What about a reference to KSI and Logan Paul making one of the largest pay-per-view events on YouTube ever? Well, I think there might be an argument that they're just organically disconnected from the real community. I think there's also a conversation of there are so many different communities. And as far as the reason behind those exclusions, those some would argue snubs, an argument has been made that it is an attempt by YouTube to disconnect themselves from any controversy. Right, Upper YouTube is very aware that if they include the likes of Logan Paul, PewDiePie, several others that have been named and not included, the next day the Wall Street Journal and any of these publications that are just looking for any YouTube blood are going to jump on it. And so they end up putting this advertiser-friendly, non-controversial piece, but it ends up being controversial and bad to the community that feels left out. And so just thinking about this moving forward, I don't know if YouTube can create something that appeases everyone. Especially in a world where arguably the most popular content on the site is the kind of content they've gone on the record saying they don't want to promote. Right, earlier in the year, you had the likes of Robert Kinsel talking about drama, not wanting to promote drama. Well, the drama is what made the KSI Logan Paul fight as big as it was on YouTube. The drama and controversy around the likes of Tana Mojo, Jake Paul, that's what made Shane Dawson's series so great. I'll give you a good example. One of the few places to talk about this year's YouTube Rewind positively was Forbes. And Forbes gave us the headline, Why YouTube Rewind 2018 is Better Than Most. The review then applauds the exclusion of several creators, writing that PewDiePie and Logan Paul are not in the video makes it better too. Creators like Logan Paul and PewDiePie are bad brand ambassadors for the platform and frankly give the entire community a bad name. By not having these problematic creators in the Rewind, YouTube is showing that there is more to their platform than their top blonde troublemakers. And then the review goes on to rate this YouTube Rewind on only 5.9 out of 10. And so that's why I say, I don't know if YouTube has a win with Rewind with any way they do. If they include some of the people that were seemingly excluded, they will be crucified by the media. Who knows if that's going to turn into another adpocalypse? And if they do exclude people, especially the people behind some of the biggest things to happen on the platform, then they're going to get crucified by the community. And it's made all the more confusing because YouTube's decisions don't even seem consistent. YouTube recently authorized and released The Thinning 2, which was Logan Paul's movie that got suspended because of his whole controversy in the beginning of the year. But then he's not included here. And if YouTube is not already doing it, I think that they really need to think about, why are we making this? Like, really, just from an analytical standpoint, what do we get from making this? What are the benefits versus the downsides? But if there is a final note that I can hit on here, is if your favorite creator or if you're a creator that was not in this, right, if you weren't invited, please don't take that as you are not legitimate. How YouTube sees or doesn't see you doesn't change a damn thing. And I'm saying that as someone who has done deals with YouTube in the past, who has been on this site for over a decade. I felt excluded and disrespected every year I was not invited to be a part of Rewind until they finally invited me last year. The only opinions that actually matter in all of this. One, your opinion about yourself, that is key, and then that of your audience. But also, a question I do want to tag on to this, do you think that there is a way that they could do YouTube Rewind where it would be at least majority well-received? Or are the efforts just kind of futile? And then let's talk about this situation around Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, of course, a massive entertainer, massive comedian. It was recently announced that he was going to be hosting the Oscars. And pretty much immediately, we saw Hart being called out for past homophobic tweets. Tweets that include one from 2011 where he said, quote, yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say, end my voice, stop, that's gay. Another from 2010 says, why does Damian Wayans' profile pic look like a gay billboard for AIDS? Boom, I'm on fire tonight. Another from 2009 reading, why does Wayne215 have so many pictures of me in his phone? What are you, some type of fat that takes pic of small black men all day? And Hart seems to have deleted some of those, with others from 2009 to 2011 still remaining up. And in response to the backlash, Kevin Hart posted two videos to Instagram where he addressed the outrage.
I swear, man, our world is becoming beyond crazy, guys. I'm almost 40 years old. If you don't believe that people change, grow, evolve as they get older, I don't know what to tell you. If you want to hold people in a position where they always have to justify or explain their past. And do you. I'm the wrong guy, man.
So I just got a call from the Academy, and that call basically said, Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old, or we're going to have to move on and find another host. Talking about the tweets from 2009, 2010. I chose to pass. I passed on the apology. The reason why I passed is because I've addressed this several times. This is not the first time this has come up. I've addressed it. The same energy that went into finding those old tweets could be the same energy put into finding the response to the questions that have been asked years after years after years. We feed in the internet trolls and we reward them. I'm not going to do it, man. I'm going to be me. I'm going to stay on my ground.
And so following those videos, people began to look for his past apologies or places where he's spoken on this. Some of what was found included a 2015 interview he did with Rolling Stone magazine, and in it he was asked about homophobia, and specifically a bit from his 2010 comedy special where he talks about fearing that his son would be gay. And Hart explained, "It's about my fear. I'm thinking about what I did as a dad. Did I do something wrong? And if I did, what was it? Not that I'm not going to love my son or think about him any differently. The funny thing within that joke is it's me getting mad at my son because of my own insecurities. I panic. It has nothing to do with him. It's about me." But also adding, "I wouldn't tell that joke today because when I said it, the times weren't as sensitive as they are now. I think we love to make big deals out of things that aren't necessarily big deals because we can't." Also on the note of that article, the author of it, Jonah Wiener, checked the transcript of the interview where Hart brought up the tweet saying, quote, "I'd never apologize for what was never intended to be disrespectful. I'd never allow the public to win for something I know wasn't malicious. I think people take things so seriously, send out a tweet, and I'm not apologizing for that." And ultimately with the Kevin Hart situation, we ultimately saw Hart tweet out, "I have made the choice to step down from hosting this year's Oscars. This is because I do not want to be a distraction on a night that should be celebrated by so many amazing, talented artists." And adding, "I sincerely apologize to the LGBTQ community for my insensitive words from my past. I'm sorry that I hurt people. I'm evolving and want to continue to do so. My goal is to bring people together, not tear us apart. Much love and appreciation to the Academy. I hope we can meet again." Now, following all of this, in addition to the people that were still angry at Kevin Hart, there were a good number of people coming to his defense. And among those, you had the likes of Nick Cannon, who pointed to other comedians who had used similar language to Hart, but have not been dragged for doing so. Retweeting a Chelsea Handler tweet from 2010, reading, "This is what a bird likes like when he flexes." There's a 2010 one from Sarah Silverman reading, "I don't mean this in a hateful way, but the new Bachelorette's a—" and another from Amy Schumer in 2012 reading, "Enjoy Skyfall. I'm about to get knee-deep in Helen Hunt." And to clear up any confusion about his intention with these callouts, Cannon responded to a commenter that said he should clean up his own tweet, saying, "Nope, you know I've been saying fucked up shit since Twitter started. I don't play that politically correct bullshit. Fuck politics, only truth." And as of recording this video, of the three people that were mentioned, Silverman seems to be the only one that has responded. And she responded by retweeting a thread from Greg Hogman, who's an author that explained his thoughts on these tweets, saying, "The thing is, a lot of gay guys didn't take offense to these comments because we didn't feel the violence or malicious intent behind it. Because we knew they were jokes. Because we knew these people were LGBT allies. I can't say the same for Kevin Hart. I can't find a history of helping at-risk LGBT youth. To be honest, his tweets and his stand-up gig saying he'd do anything not to have a gay son made me bristle. In short, it felt malicious. I appreciate Kevin Hart's apology and think it's great that he's evolved and grown, but I don't think there's much of a comparison in your tweet." And as far as my personal reaction to this, I think there's two things I want to hit on. One, I think Kevin Hart fumbled his response. I think if he had initially responded with his final tweets, right, apologizing specifically to the LGBT community, "I'm sorry that I hurt people. I am evolving and I want to continue to do so," and then switch gears into his commentary about outrage culture and people continually throwing his past words at him now. And while I don't think that there are going to be a lot of people that sympathize with him feeling like a victim in his current situation, it would have created separation from those things that he wouldn't say today. You get the note that we evolve as people, that if anything, the tweets of the past don't lock one down, but show the evolution. Personally, I'm a big believer in that. And then as the last thing, talk about Twitter and just societal outrage culture. Because second final thought here, I think that we do need to have a conversation of what do we want from people. It often does feel like, and understand, I'm not excluding myself in this current situation. It feels like depending on how much we like a specific artist or person, we look to their past comments in a different light. Right? Some people are gonna look not only at Kevin Hart's stand-up, but those tweets and go, okay, so the only change that's happened over the years is he hid his bigotry. Where others are gonna look at that same thing and go, oh man, he's really changed, he's really grown. And really past him acknowledging those words, saying it was wrong, apologizing to the people that may have been hurt by it. What do the people that are angry at Kevin Hart want? Do they just want him to go away, die, you never work in this business ever again? Or is it to learn, grow, hopefully be a better person, promote positivity? I guess my thoughts on it is words matter, but I think growth should also matter. I look at who I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and I see a completely different person. And I look back at those people who I was, and there are moments where I'm embarrassed, I'm disgusted, that I would punch that guy in the face. But I also look back at that, and it makes me proud of who I've become and how I continue to grow. But that said, that's a story, my personal takeaway. And I pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts on this whole situation that we've seen transpire? What do you think about the arguments that we've seen from the likes of Nick Cannon and others? Any and all things on this topic, I'd love to see in those comments. comments down below. The last thing we're going to talk about today is a very troubling story, but it was also one of the most requested stories today. And that's the story about Luke James Monday, who's known on the internet as Mr. Deadmau. On December 9th, someone on Twitter posted a tweet with a video attached with it that has just made the rounds. That tweet has since been taken down, but it said, "Holy fuck, you need to be put down like a sick dog, woman-bashing scumbag at Mr. Deadmau." And the video starts off in what seems to be in the middle of an argument.
"Can you not? I said I'll be out soon! Stop!"
At this point, he walks out of frame towards his wife, Grace, as she begins to say that she's tired of him playing the game, and then this happens.
"No, stop. Computer! I'm sick of this shit!
Stop! Please! I'll be out soon! Just stop."
So we clearly hear what sounds to be a slap. She then begins to cry. And throughout the whole thing, you can hear her two children in the background, a 3-year-old, a 20-month-old.
"You hear that? All you people there? You just hit me in the face."
Additionally, we later find out that she's pregnant. But also, the stream isn't over at this point. It still continues.
"All I asked was for some time by myself.
You fucking woman,
just go away. No one, just go away. Leave me alone. I'll be out soon. How many times do I have to tell you?"
And then the situation becomes even worse. His wife refuses to leave until he says sorry. He won't until he's done with his games. It then seems like she might bang on the monitor or table the camera shakes. At which point he then gets up and he seems to be physical again in some way.
"Just go. Sorry now.
I'm gonna get that. Go away! Fuck!
I'm dead.
Leave me alone!"
Some people are saying that at this point it sounds like he punched her. But the video of this was only some of what happened. Another Twitter user by the name of Ayu then tweeted out, "Part two of this fucking awful human being honestly makes me so sick in the stomach watching this shit." And that tweet has another video showing the abuse continuing. Grace can be heard crying in the background, and the entire time Monday continues with, "I'll be out soon, why don't you take that as an answer?" He's getting louder and louder, but we can still hear Grace.
"I know you touched me. Listen, and I'm pregnant.
Listen, I will be out
I've
soon.
I heard all of you people know that mm-hmm. I'm pregnant, and he just
Right. They're still arguing, and then we see him get up once again and seemingly become physical with her off screen. And Grace and their children can just be heard in the background screaming, this time just much worse than before.
"Do you want me to? Leave me alone! Go away! Go away! Stop touching my fucking shit! Fuck out of here!
As far as what happened next, reportedly Mr. Deadmau was arrested at 11:30 p.m. by police, and he was charged with common assault and received an apprehended domestic violence order, which is like a restraining order. He ultimately posted bail and will appear in court on Thursday the 13th. Also along with this, the wife was reportedly arrested, but her charges have since been dropped. And as far as why she would have been arrested, well, another video was released that showed a little more context. We see the two fighting, she wants him to get off, he says no. It then appears that she begins throwing some things at him, although it seems like the most dangerous object was a piece of cardboard. But on that note, a few people have still tried to justify his actions by saying that, quote, assault is assault, essentially arguing that the act of throwing that cardboard is technically assault, just like if you slap someone. But most people on several different platforms have just shut down that argument, saying a piece of cardboard and a fist are not the same thing. Also, as far as reactions, one that I really lined up with is just a ton of people just feeling really horrible for the children. And what I'll say on a personal note really quick to the first, the people that are justifying his actions because she threw a piece of cardboard, kindly go fuck yourself, you piece of shit. That is some false equivalency bullshit. The actions we saw in this video is that of a stunted man boy domestic abuser. Based off of some of the other clips I found while researching this, he just in general seems like a garbage human being.
"Motels looks like it's taken as well. Anna, shut up, cunt. Don't fucking give me that attitude, Annabelle."
And you just never do what we hear him do. Also, if this is how this guy acts while he knows that he is streaming out to the entirety of the internet, just imagine what he might be doing when he knows that there is no camera recording. But that said, that is where I'm going to end that story and today's show. Of course, whether it be this last piece or the first one or anything in between, I'd love to know your thoughts. And remember, if you like this video, hit that like button. If you're new here, you want more of these daily dives into the news, hit that subscribe button, ring that bell to turn on notifications. Also, if you missed either of the last two Philip DeFranco shows you want to catch up, all you got to do is click or tap right there to watch those. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.